Thought we'd look at just a couple of passages of Scripture this afternoon before we go to the Lord in prayer. One of them's in the 10th chapter, the first one being the 10th chapter of Acts. They're going to be both in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, in the verse part of that chapter, says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. And here's the part that I really want us to notice at this particular time, and prayed to God always. Here's an amazing account, because we know the story, of course, that God hears the prayers of Cornelius, and he sends Peter. Of course, before he can send Peter, he has to teach Peter a lesson, doesn't he? He has to send down a sheet from heaven, and Peter's in a trance or vision, sees this vision, and it's a sheet with all kinds of animals, both clean and unclean, and the Lord tells Peter to take and eat, and Peter says, "Not so, Lord." I mean, he's a devout Jew, right? But the Lord says, well, Peter says he's never eaten of anything unclean. And the Lord says, call not thou which I've made clean, unclean. So Cornelius sends to Peter according to the word of the Lord, the direction of the Lord, and tells him to come to his house. And Peter obeys the Lord, and he goes to Cornelius' house and preaches the gospel. And Cornelius and his whole house believe. Sometimes there's some amazing things that happen. But here's again the point. It says that he prayed to God always. In other words, he never gave up in his prayer. How many of us are sometimes very much tempted to give up in our prayer life? And especially, again, in these days, Bruce, because we do see them as that little season where God is turning Satan loose, and it's a time when we are warned, if you will, that we ought to pray and not to faint. In other words, to quit, to give up, because God is going to suffer long. You know, some of God's long-suffering is good, right? But some of it, at least in this sense, it's difficult because we desire to see our prayers answered, and yet it seems that God, in so many cases, is not answering our prayers. But, you know, I would suppose that the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which was about 400 years, that there was nothing heard from God. You think that was a difficult time? Had to be. Very much had to be so. But yet, there were many that did not give up. They continued to pray, and they continued to look for that Messiah. How long was Anna in that temple? 40 years. And Simeon, many years they were in that temple and they were looking for the Messiah. And ultimately they were rewarded, weren't they? Maybe that's where the old saying comes from, patience is rewarding. But it certainly is with the Lord, because we know, once again, that he is going to answer according to his purpose. He is going to answer our prayers. There's no question about that. The thing that we have to be concerned about is whether or not our desires are his desires, whether his will is our will. But again, we mentioned this already, but I think last week in Psalm 126, the promise is that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then he says, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, there are many instances where we are shown or told that these times may be long. God may not give us an answer right away. So, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he says in verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it, but he says, after many days. Then in verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So Cornelius was consistent in his prayer life, and this is one of those Gentiles. He wasn't a Jew, but he was a Gentile. And this was something that was new, especially to such as the Apostle Peter, and I'm sure, have no doubt, that it was to the other apostles at that time. The Apostle Paul seems to be the first one of the apostles that from the beginning of his ministry had no real doubts as concerning the salvation of the Gentiles. But God gave him a special gift to that end. The other scripture in Acts is in the 16th chapter. Says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Prayer is not only important, but it's necessary. As I look back, especially in my early days as a Christian, you know, I sometimes very, very much marvel that I did not pray very often. And I look at my life now and I think, well, I don't pray enough still. But what greater joy is there when you can pray in the Spirit and commune with God? Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And what happened there? Well, verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. Same thing that was said about Cornelius, right? Heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Again, not very much that we know about these two individuals. I mean, they just appear on the scene, and what has led up to these particular times in their lives, we're really not told. But we do know this, were that they were praying. Now the question might arise again, well, were they saved before this? We just don't know much about them, do we? But we do know that God was at work in their hearts and in their lives. And we do know this, again, that they were motivated to prayer by the Spirit of God. Now, were they fully aware of what was going on in their lives? Probably not. Their knowledge had to be extremely limited. But the important thing here is that they were praying. You understand? However weak their faith may have been, however weak they may have been in the faith, nevertheless, they were praying, and God heard their prayer, and he sent a preacher to them. And when the gospel was preached to them, they received that gospel message. They followed the Lord in baptism, right? They followed the Lord in baptism, and we can safely assume that from that point on, their lives were entirely different. They began to learn of God and walk with God, but I don't think their prayer life changed any. They continued to pray. The one thing that had been consistent in their lives continued to be consistent. So as we go through these days of our lives, these years of our lives, what will we do? How important will we consider prayer to be? This afternoon, will we just go through a meaningless exercise? Or do we really believe that this is a necessary part of our worship and a privilege that God gives to us that we can communicate with Him through prayer, commune with Him through prayer? And then I wanted for us to think about something. I wonder if we had one thing, if right now we could ask God for one thing, I wonder what that would be. Now you might think that's strange, but that's what God asked Solomon, wasn't it? Yeah. But is there a lesson for us to learn in that? I believe if we were really praying aright, the one thing that all of us would ask is, "Thy will be done." Solomon asked for wisdom, but because he asked for wisdom, much other things were added to him, right? But what do you think? If we truly pray that God's will be done, what do you think? You think that God might add many things to us? For us? And I can't help but wonder if sometimes our prayers are not hindered because we ask amiss. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But you see, I think too many times we want to believe and rejoice in the second part of that verse. Namely, he will give you the desires of your heart, but we want to leave the first part off. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our heart, because then whatsoever we do, it would be for the glory of God, right? It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I pray that the Lord will give us hearts of prayer, and that indeed we may pray according to the will of God, and that we will be delighted in that which God gives unto us. All right, let's go to the Lord then in prayer again. Do remember those that are not with us today. And not saying that we shouldn't ask God or petition the Lord for many things, but I do believe that we need to be committed to the proposition that we will rejoice in the will of the Lord. And that is our primary reason for praying. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.